Have you been listening to the podcast and getting value from the show? If so, I've got a small favor to ask, because over the next few months, we're going to be making some changes to better serve you. Now, I could keep creating episodes based on what I think would be most helpful, but I would much rather get this right. So instead of guessing, I want to understand where you are right now and the real challenges you, your organization, and your team are facing. That's why I've put together a very short 90-second survey. It'll help me better understand you and how I can serve you at a much higher level. And as a thank you, the first 30 people who complete it will receive a free signed copy of one of our books. To take part, just go to the show notes and click the link titled Leadership Survey. Or you can go directly to letsgrowleaders.com/podsurvey. PODSURVEY. It'll take less than 2 minutes. I really appreciate your input. It will genuinely help shape the future of the show. In this episode, you're going to learn why many managers and leaders sabotage the very urgency they desperately need. And you'll get 5 communication skills to help you build a culture of urgency without being a jerk. Welcome to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul, a podcast helping human-centered leaders master communication to accelerate your team's performance, reduce stress, and build a career with the respect and influence you deserve. I'm your host, David Dye, president of Let's Grow Leaders. Welcome to the show. In this episode, we're going to answer a listener's question and give you the tools to eliminate critical urgency-killing mistakes and roadblocks. And you'll get 5 communication skills to help you lead with urgency, so you'll be able to help your team complete their work on time, maintain their energy over time, and avoid distractions, stay focused on what matters most, and feel proud about what you accomplished together. So let's get to this question that comes from listener Melissa.
Hey, this is Nora, and I have a question.
Hi, David. My name is Jamie, and I'm calling in from Maine. My question is about...
Hey, David. This is Julian from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
This is John from Colorado Springs.
This is Johan White from Kingston. I have a question for you.
This is Cynthia from Baltimore.
Hi, David. This is Susan from New Jersey, and my question is...
Hi, David. This is Dean from Denver.
I would love your advice on this.
Hi, David. Thanks so much for the podcast. I'm finding as a longtime HR professional that I'm getting a lot out of this in terms of helping me think through some concepts for clients that I support within the company I'm at. One of the current challenges is that as we continue to drive transformation, as well as we're 3 years into executing a multi-year strategy, that we often are also wanting people to have a higher sense of urgency in driving change or executing on a component within the strategy important to our objectives. And one thing we'd like is to get some thoughts on how leaders can be more effective at leading to get people motivated or aligned to a sense of urgency, while also not coming across like a jerk in terms of the way they lead. So if there's anything you can share there, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks, Melissa. And I got to tell you, this is a question we hear from clients, readers, and listeners all the time. So let's jump in. To begin with, if you're telling your team to act with urgency or to be more committed or things like that, it's not going to help them move any faster or be more committed. Why not? Because words like urgency or commitment mean different things to different people. If I say this is urgent, that means for me, I would have liked for it to be done yesterday. Now, that's not going to happen. But that's my level of urgency. Now, for someone else, this is urgent might mean it needs to be done around other priorities, when time permits, with a good sense of detail and attention to quality by the end of the week, or maybe after this big project wraps up. And if you want proof that people have different definitions of urgent or urgency, go ask 5 people to define the word urgent or say, hey, I need this soon, and see what they say. You'll get 5 different answers. Your people see their work differently than you do. And some value speed, others value quality, and others are going to value focus on the impact or process. So instead of focusing on vague words like urgent, you can create more motivation for your employees to move faster and lower your stress with a few consistent communication habits, and then remove the barriers to urgency and speed. So we're going to start with some of those communication skills, five essential communication skills that will help your folks have more urgency. When you want to build a culture where people move at a crisp pace, your first job is you have to eliminate misunderstanding. Misunderstanding slows everybody down. So this is critical. And it's, I got to tell you, it's one of the most common barriers to urgency or productivity or anything else that we see is a lack of clarity. So you want to help get everyone on the same page, quickly deal with conflicting priorities by using these five communication tools. So number one, first communication tool, and if you listen to the show for any length of time, you'll know this one, schedule the finish. I want to go in depth on this a little bit. If you're a high urgency leader and you're frustrated with your team, this one conversation is going to solve so many of your problems. You'll stop leaving people's follow through to good intentions or willpower or different interpretations of what soon or urgent might mean. Instead, schedule the finish. Scheduling the finish is not assigning the due date. Okay, that's a frequent mistake people will make. So you're not just, oh, this is due here. That doesn't take into account competing priorities, doesn't take into account feasibility, and you've also still missed a critical component. So what is scheduling the finish? Scheduling the finish means to have a conversation about feasibility, about competing priorities, and then the conversation concludes with a specific appointment for follow-through at a specific time on a specific day on the calendar of you and whoever else is involved. Now, when you schedule the finish, there are a couple types of tasks that will need your focus. Just let's say broadly two categories. You've got routine tasks, and then you've got more one-off delegated assignments. So let's talk about routine tasks first. When you're scheduling the finish for routine tasks, these can be frustrating. You might think, hey, listen, this is part of your job. Why can't you just get it done? And if you ever feel yourself saying that, try grouping these routine tasks into buckets and then setting shared deadlines for those specific types of things. So here's the key question. With no extra conversation between you and your team, if I were to go and ask them about a particular bucket, what's your manager, what's your leader expect in terms of when this bucket of kind of these tasks will be completed? When should they be done? Would your team give me the same answer you would? And if you're not sure what they'd say, after you finish this episode, go ask them. Their answers might surprise you. And if you don't get the same answers, the ones that you're thinking would be the answers, it's time to start scheduling the finish. Let's dive a little deeper into ongoing tasks. You have ongoing tasks, things that happen all the time. The goal might be something like finish this weekly. So for example, if an employee handles customer contact and needs to document conversations and actions, you could aim for 100% completion by the end of the day every Wednesday and Friday. But it's about getting specific. Now, maybe it needs to be done daily or three times a week. Whatever your numbers are, it doesn't matter. It's about getting specific. When is done on those routine types of tasks? So that's the first kind of bucket of things we want to look at when we're talking about scheduling the finish, are those routine or ongoing types of assignments. When is done? When are they going to be completed? How does it fit into the overall work? And do your people have the same understanding you do? Now, the second place we need to schedule the finish, and honestly, this is the one that gets dropped more often, is delegated assignments. These are the commitments that you make to one another, the conversation you had in the hallway at the end of a Teams chat, or there's some good intentions, but when is done? Your team members constantly are deciding where to put their time, and a clear finish line with mutual accountability is going to help everyone make better decisions. So, for example, if you have a conversation with one of your team members about following up on a customer complaint, and she agrees the customer issue needs investigation, before you leave the conversation, you say, all right, let's schedule the finish. Can you and your team investigate what happened? Then make suggestions on how we can address it. And let's see if we can get together by Friday at 3 to talk about that. Does that work for you? And your team member mentions, well, I've got another project that's due that same afternoon. So you ponder for a moment. You say, okay, upon reflection, I've thought about the customer issue is more important. Let's do that. Let's make that the priority. And you give her team until Tuesday to complete the first project. So they'll have time to deal with the customer's issue. Then you wrap up the conversation by making an appointment on both of your calendars for 3 p.m. Friday, where she'll brief you on the team's findings. So that's scheduling the finish. Discuss competing priorities, have a conversation about feasibility. Can we really do it in this time frame? And then put it on the calendar. A meeting, even if it's 5 or 10 minutes, an event where you're both going to show up and wrap it up. That follow through has to go on the calendar so both of you show up for it. All right, number 2, our second communication skill here. We're going to check for understanding. And this is, if you want to create a culture of timeliness, again, you have to reduce misunderstandings. And that's where the check for understanding comes in. Checking for understanding means you ensure everyone in a conversation has the same comprehension of what you agreed. Now, there is a full lengthy explanation of this, episode 275, one of my favorite episodes. Check out 275 for a full explanation of check for understanding. But I'll just give you some example here. Checking for understanding is not saying, hey, do you understand? Instead, you say something like, hey, before we wrap up, let's check for understanding. What are we doing next? What's our goal here? When are we meeting to follow up? What do you understand is the timeline? And then you ensure the answers you're hearing are the same answers that you're thinking. And if there's a mismatch, we clarify, keep talking until everyone's on the same page. So check for understanding. What do you understand here? Make sure you're aligned. And you can do this with your manager as well, or your leader. Here's what I'm hearing. You say, here's the timelines I'm hearing. Do I have those right? Make sure you're aligned. And number 3, our friend 5x5 communication. Again, you've been listening for a while. You've heard about 5x5 communication. I encourage you to check out episode 288 if you want to learn more in depth about 5x5. But here's the idea. Any message that's critical to your team's success requires consistent communication. You need people to internalize those messages. So how do you do that? 5x5 communication. That's communicating critical content at least 5 times, 5 different ways, through 5 different channels. That repetition and variety will ensure that everyone internalizes those key messages. It's just how our brains work. You're helping people build the neural pathways that where they internalize those messages. So 5x5 communication helps you reinforce not only when things should be done, but even more importantly, why that time frame is critical. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So you've got a key message, a key initiative, something that needs to get done in a certain time frame, projects due, customer response, whatever. An example of 5x5 communication here would be you talk about it in your team meeting. That's 1. Then you send a follow-up email. That's 2. You do a Teams chat or a Slack chat. That's 3. Then maybe you do a quick voice recording and send out a little audio memo to everybody. That's 4. And maybe number 5 is you do a quick celebration of who's hit the leading indicators most quickly. So you got some early adopter celebration going on, or maybe number 5 could be, if it's a bigger thing, maybe it's t-shirts and you're all wearing those, or maybe you change the background on your Teams or your Zoom meeting if you're virtual to remind everybody what's going on there. So that's our third communication skill, 5x5 communication. And then number 4, this is a communication skill where I see many leaders and organizations struggle and they undermine the urgency they want. And you might unintentionally frustrate your employees by doing this one, or failing to do this, I should say. And the negative, the mistake here is creating conflict and expecting your team to solve it themselves. What is the conflict that you need to solve here ahead of time for them? It's number 4, address conflicting values and priorities. Again, leaders make this mistake all the time because every value or priority is going to conflict with another value or priority at some point. It's unavoidable. And if you ignore that, when you ask people to act with urgency, you're creating a conflict with other values. Here's an easy example. There's a tension between urgency and quality. You can always do something faster if you're willing to sacrifice quality. So how should your team resolve that tension? The worst thing you can do is just leave it up to them, to their own devices, and then get upset when they don't make the decision that you would or that you prefer. So instead, address those conflicts head on. Own them. Talk about them. Tell stories. Not just your stories, but have other senior leaders involved. Share those strategic stories. Tell those stories about how you've dealt with those conflicts in the past, and give your folks a model of how you hope they'll resolve them in the future. And then our fifth communication skill you want to use to build a culture of urgency is you've got to close the loop with celebration and accountability. Now, let me give you another example, one of the most egregious examples I have personally experienced of this one. Early in my career, I had a CEO who asked me to take on a special project, and he had a clear finish line, and it was really urgent, and I was young, and I wanted to impress. I wanted to do a good job. I worked evenings through the weekend on top of all my regular work, tons of extra time. And I quite proudly brought the finished project to him, and he looked confused. And I reminded him what he'd asked me to do. And he laughed. He said, "Oh, we're not doing that anymore. We're going a different direction." Yeah. You can probably imagine the next time he had a sense of urgency around something, I did not treat it the same way. That's a pretty bad example of not closing the loop. Every time you ask something of your team, you're creating an open loop. You have an intention, and then either that intention is completed or not. Either way, you need to close the loop. So if the team followed through and did the thing, celebrate, acknowledge their work. And if they didn't do it, you have an accountability conversation. See what the team can learn. Can they get it done now? Or is there something to learn to help for the future? Closing that loop builds momentum. It tells your team that you truly value the follow-through. It lets people know that you're actually paying attention. You value the work, and you weren't just blowing smoke about the urgency. And at the very least, don't do what my CEO did. Ask for the project, talk about the sense of urgency, and then completely forget about it. Change directions and not ever tell anybody. That's the worst thing you can do. All right, so there are your five communication skills to help your team act with urgency. Now, next, I promised to help you remove some roadblocks to urgency, so let's do that now. The first roadblock is a missing why. Your team needs to understand the reasons for the work and the reasons for the urgency. Now, why is a missing why a roadblock to urgency? Because other tasks that have a better understood why will take priority. Like, I know why I'm doing this. I know why it matters. Now, this thing over here, if I don't know, it's going to take a lower priority. So use your 5x5 communication strategy that we mentioned earlier to answer the questions your team's asking. What business purpose does this urgency serve? How does it improve the customer experience? How does it improve our employee experience? How does it improve the business's bottom line in a way that makes sense to employees? Connecting timelines to meaningful reasons why will also help you avoid the next roadblock, which roadblock number two is false urgency, or its cousin, everything's urgent. You lose credibility with false urgency or when everything's urgent. And pretty soon your people tune out whatever you're asking. And they say things like, "Oh, everything's always a last minute emergency with him. Don't worry about it." As soon as people can't take you seriously, you've become a barrier to timeliness and legitimate urgency. So be aware of false urgency and be careful about the finish lines that you're looking for. And then roadblock number three. This one's a little bit different. This is risk aversion. And the easiest way to describe it is with an example. One time I was talking with a vice president of an organization we were working with who told me, "Listen, I'd rather be late and get it right than early and wrong. Yeah, I'll get yelled at for being late, but our president loses his mind." And he didn't say mind. "Our president loses it if I make a mistake." Now, the president was also frustrated that his team didn't move quickly enough. This president was his own roadblock. So reflect for yourself. How do you respond to mistakes? Your people pay attention to your responses. And you might say you don't want them to spend tons of time building giant decks filled with microscopic columns of data. But if you get angry when they don't have a specific number at their fingertips, they'll ignore what you say and pay attention to what you do. So removing this roadblock means clarifying risk tolerance and celebrating healthy risk, especially when it doesn't work out. So what's the range of accuracy you expect in people's reports or assignments? You want to clarify that acceptable risk up front and then treat mistakes as learning opportunities. And if it's a well-intentioned mistake and there's some inaccuracy or something, a learning opportunity there, be super careful about how you respond to that. And you might even take the opportunity to celebrate the fact that they acted with urgency, even if it wasn't as accurate as you might have hoped. Otherwise, people will take the extra time, not as much urgency, but they'll make sure they're accurate so you don't get upset. And then our fourth roadblock, and this is particularly for our senior, middle-level, senior-level leader positions. If you're a senior leader listening, this fourth roadblock, middle managers who don't know how or why, or that it's their job to communicate. And this is super common. I'd say it's one of the most frequent challenges organizations encounter when you've got a leadership team that does have a good sense of urgency, but it's not translating down the organization. So if you feel like your team has a good sense of urgency, but you're struggling to motivate employees throughout the organization to move more quickly, this roadblock could be a part of your problem. You've got managers who don't understand or aren't accountable for their communication. To solve it, you want to equip your managers with the five communication skills that we talked about earlier. Make sure all of your managers know how to schedule the finish, to check for understanding, do that 5x5 communication, and that they're addressing conflicting values and priorities. And finally, that they're closing the loop consistently with celebration and accountability. And then, to be meta, you close the loop with celebration and accountability with them when you've ensured that the communication is happening. The more that they do those five things and the more you hold them accountable for using those tools and celebrate when they get it right, the more they'll consistently schedule the finish, check for understanding, communicate consistently with those key messages, help their teams internalize and address values and priority conflicts. And with that accountability and celebration, you're going to build that culture of urgency. And finally, as we're talking about building a culture of urgency, the final place I want to go with you is to be upfront talking about urgency at human scale, right? We're all about practical tools for human-centered leaders. So we have to acknowledge the fact you can't be urgent all the time. People can't work at speed or at high levels of stress forever. Yes, there's a range, but we're all human beings. Some have more tolerance, some less, but none of us can go full speed all the time. No car can, no human being can. It just doesn't work that way. So part of the reason you have the conversation when you schedule the finish is to ensure that workloads are manageable. But even then, over time, a culture of urgency can burn out your best employees and undermine your long-term success as people internalize that and just always feel like they have to be on. Sometimes you might not even expect it, but they've internalized it. And now that's happening. So here's a couple of suggestions to help you avoid those kinds of pitfalls and practice urgency at a human scale. The first one I call know your race. So I think I've shared in previous episodes, maybe even last episode, that I'm training for my third ultra marathon. I'm going to do 32 miles at in the mountains, 7,000 to 9,000 feet. When you're doing an ultra marathon, you run a lot slower than you do when you're running a 100-meter sprint. 100-meter sprint, you run as fast as you can. That's like under 10 seconds. If you're really fast Olympic-level sprinter, you go super fast. But if you're doing a 50K or a 50-mile, you never run that fast. And often, you stop. You stop running altogether to eat a snack or drink something or use the bathroom. So what race are you running? There are times you're going to need to sprint, and there are times to run at a more sustainable pace, to take breaks, to rest. And you need to help your employees and your team understand in their sense of urgency, with a sense of urgency that's appropriate to the race that they're running. Is this a sprint or is this a long term? And then the second urgency at human scale issue here, and this is an important one, is you don't want to use urgency to address broken processes or systems. And I see this a lot. Quite often, and this comes from senior leaders sometimes, who are struggling to instill a sense of urgency, it's because they're using urgency, constant fire drills, or all hands on deck scrambles to deal with problems. That's going to burn out your team. So don't use urgency to address those kinds of problems. Instead, you need to solve the problems the first or second time it happens. Yes, you got to respond, but now you've responded, you know it's an issue. So what process or system do you need to fix it to keep it from happening again? Focus on long-term solutions and save the urgency for when you really need it. Then your team will have the energy to respond and they'll trust you when you ask for it. And my final suggestion here on doing urgency at human scale is engage your team. Involve them, ask them for their ideas. This is helping your team own the challenges and the solutions. Do you need to accelerate a project? Do you need to create a consistent scheduled finish for routine tasks? Find a faster way to get your customer what they need. Start by defining that opportunity and why it matters. Then ask your team for their solutions. So there we go. Ways to cultivate urgency in your team without frustrating your team or acting like a jerk. We get hired to help organizations do everything I just described. And happy to help you if you want to give us a call. But you can start as your own consultant here. Go ask your team for their understanding of timetables and why critical tasks are done when they are, and see where the gaps are. Use the communication skills that you received in this episode, remove the roadblocks, and you're on your way to building that culture of urgency. And if you want to help your team, equip your team with these same skills that help reduce your team stress, improve morale, productivity, and yes, act with more urgency, you can find a guide to help you do just that. It's free for you as a listener of the show. It's at letsgrowleaders.com/podcast. You'll find that there. You can download that, and that'll share some of these same exact tools and ways that you can help facilitate these conversations with your team. Thank you, as always, to our producer and sound engineer, Brooke Bradford at Sheep and Space Digital Business Services, and Laura at Brooke Marketing for their work on this episode. Until next time, be the leader you'd want your boss to be.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.